All right. I'm not sure how this is recording, actually. It seems like I'm not getting it to... I'm not sure it's any better. Anyway. The last couple of branch conferences, it's just... I'm not being useful to the group. And it's making me crazy. Getting angry, not allowed to... I'm not permitted to actually speak openly, so I don't. That's frustrating, too. Of course you're still allowed to speak openly, I said, trust me. If I were to speak openly, you guys would have to get rid of me. Okay? So that's... I am not a committee council person. I'm just not. And if that, you know, and I guess I don't have much to contribute to such groups. It became obvious to me at Mesa Lands when I was working there as part of an executive team that, you know, they get the biggest complaint was I'm not a team player. And you go, yeah, I've got a different way of thinking. This isn't, I'm not, it's not, yeah. I did what such people do. You know, and it's like, you know, well, I'm not saying anything. I apologize. I felt the end of me know. And everybody's like, well, you should check with us first. You go, you know what? Don't. Happening in like branch council meetings. It was just the group is going in another direction. And how things were said flies in formation. like John the Baptist. Not a committee sort. Really quite livid and passionate at home. Much too loudly for Lisa. Got upset at me. And I gave it to him. And then Caleb was trying to be the little professor about it. It's like, why don't you put that in your husband father file and get back to it when you're a husband and a father and I'm not around and you can do things the way you want them to be done. It's perfectly fine. And I'm involved. And there's always a deputy sheriff here who's who's looking around for traffic violations. And it's like, well, that's it's the law, it's his job. Anyway, so, and I framed it as, you know, is that this is causing problems at home, and I'm only around for a little bit, and I don't really need to be stirring up angst and problems at home because of how things are going at church. So, you know what? You can find somebody else to do, to be in a calling that puts them in councils. He said, I don't think I'm really all that. All that interested. I don't know if it's a question of being reasonable so much as it's stewardship, maybe. And I've got problems. My brother avoids most church things. I think it's because he struggles like I do. I call it my worldview. Now, if it's church, I guess it's church view. My church view. How things are supposed to go. Trying to do them in a good way. I know, just saying. Causing family problems. And just you can call somebody else to do it. Not a welfare program. And I could do about the specifics of the topic and how I was like, why are we putting forth all this effort? And they're swearing that it's not, that the fast offerings are not being used. And you're going, don't tell me that. That's not true. It's like, well, not much of it's being used. And you go, we're not doing it according to the way it's, you know. And it ends up just being, he said, she said. Can the branch president do it the way he wants to? Yes. He authorizes everything that way. It's just like, you know what? Whatever. You can find somebody else to do this thing. Anyway, so I'm sorry, and I did that big long nothing, which is usually the indication that I don't have anything to say, so I might as well just not say it. I think both Lisa and I have been struggling lately with a lot of things. I guess like so many things, I don't know if it's specific to socialism or Marxism or anything like that. So many things look wonderful on their face, and you try them out, and it's okay, you try them out. And if they make some positive change, that's really wonderful. I wouldn't be surprised, nor would I be particularly upset, if this was kind of stuff that was done. It seems like the church has a heck of a marketing research department, and a whole lot of things kind of get wrapped up in those kinds of people. If we do this, what'll it look like? If we do that, what'll it look like? I'm not a marketing person. I'm not saying I know human nature all that well. You know, they probably know more about it than I do. Therefore, it's a good thing, you know? It's probably just as well that those are the people working on it. You know, they try stuff. The brethren say, well, how can we accomplish this? How can we accomplish that? Are we doing it wrong? When we put an indicator on it, everybody starts acting weird about the indicator. That's kind of what happened to home teaching. Home teaching got screwed up to the point to where they said, well, let's just give it a different name. Let's call it something else. And then let's not give them anything specific about how it's supposed to be done. And what do you almost immediately do? You start putting criteria on how it's supposed to be done. What counts, what doesn't. And it's like, oh, God, I thought we were getting away from this. But I think it's just a whole thing of human nature. When you get managers involved in in doing things, that these things start getting squirreled up. Once upon a time got changed into five other things, as usual, as things tend to do, because they're there, they will get morphed into something different according to who wants to use the process. Then of course things get apocryphized the whole thing about home teaching that had to do with Joseph Smith. And I'm sorry, I don't think home teaching existed in Joseph Smith's time. And yet there is this apocryphal story about, you know, because somebody was trying to put out there that says, oh, I know how to get this done. I'll say that this was how Joseph Smith wanted it done, and that'll impel a lot of people to do it who were kind of wondering about this being a program. And can I be honest? Almost every program started in the Pioneer era, not in the Joseph Smith era. And I am willing that a lot of apocrypha happened because it's not like everybody had the same attitude and the same, I don't know if I want to call it the moral fiber, but we're totally willing to rewrite history after the fact to try to better institutionalize things. Like when they talk about Relief Society. And I'm going, I don't know. Well, Relief Society started back way, way back in the first days. And you're going, well, maybe. Maybe it really didn't. You know, it was all about Joseph saying, oh, we're gonna do this on the same basis as the priesthood. I don't know if that's absolutely, honestly, true. I don't know. It doesn't, for my purposes, it doesn't matter. Because I'm not a program person. I am very much a, people who read whatever I've wrote, which nobody does. And that's fine too. You know, I put it out there to show God that I'm trying. And I do publish it. I got at least 300, probably close to 400 Facebook friends. And, the only thing I use Facebook for is to advertise this stuff. For all I know, nobody sees it. Lisa sees it occasionally. I don't know. She hasn't talked about it lately. So I'm really like, well, you know, I don't know. There seems to be algorithms involved. It plays up certain things. It plays down other things. I'm not paying for advertising, which means that if I try to use the venue as advertising, it's probably going to be seriously de-emphasized, or a lot of people just aren't going to see it. Or a whole bunch of people have just decided that it's not, you know, it's not their stuff. They don't want to get involved in it. You know, people say, well, you should be doing missionary work. And you go, is not what I'm doing a form of missionary work? You go, well, it's not the traditional sort. And you go, nobody said it had to be the traditional sort. That's also kind of, you know, that's program. Now, there's scripture around it. Going out two by two, stuff like that. So I'm not going to speak against it. But, you know, it's like, well, Christ didn't say that doing it the way you're doing it is okay. And you go, well, I'm not, they don't call people like me on missions anymore. But if they did, I would do something akin to this. Anyway, so I am in Encino, New Mexico. And so after this, it's going to get a lot quieter because I'm going to go just on Highway 60, and it's going to get interesting, or less interesting, or whatever. It won't be a thing anymore. But anyway, so pardon me. I continue to do the things I do on the network, and it really has, you know, and some of my older stuff makes more particular mention of the church. Otherwise, I'm just mostly, because I'm going through the Book of Mormon right now, it's mostly Book of Mormon type of insights as I slowly move through. Now, it doesn't mean I came up with a couple of things. I don't know exactly what happened to them because I can't find them. They're on the phone, but I don't think they've actually made their way to Blogger. And so I actually put together one of my old antique sites. There was a time when Zope was really popular, and there were several applications written as products, as Zope products. Can I be honest? They're all gone. The only one left is Float, and all Zope is now is just kind of the underlayment for Plone, and I think Plone pretty much tells Zope what to do. And I think it's pretty much run now by pretty much probably the same people or something like that, to the point that I got interested in Zope and started playing around with it and making things happen that way. Back when it was its own thing, and Plone was just another product in doing it. So I have... You know, it's all tied to this laptop I have. The laptop came from the year 2005. That I tried to get Debian working on it, but it just didn't really come. I had much better luck with Ubuntu. Now that particular version of Ubuntu is 6.06, and I just happened to have a burned 6.6 server issue of Ubuntu. So I put it on the server. It was all very good. It worked really nicely. And I had to experiment with a few other things, but I finally settled on this. The great part is it handles all of the hardware on it. I'm actually using the laptop as a server, so there's whole sections of it that just, who cares? But it also had, it also harkened back to the time when there were several products for Zope that were actually pretty well developed. One of them was Plone. It's Plone 2.0 with a version number after, maybe 2.1, I'm not sure. Anyway, it's got Plone on it, and boy, I tell you, when you're Plone is definitely something that you can't just give to people to play with. It really has to be something upon which you are trained. And that's fine. It's got Squish Knot. There is another product I have available. I finally got it working, so it works with Caddy as the reverse proxy ahead of it, so I don't have to worry about trying to make newfangled security work on it. It actually runs behind my proxy. It has a blog. I think it's core blog. And of course it has the old reliables wiki, which is the wiki server. I love wikis. And it's definitely and it works well. It actually works with Plone too. You can actually do Zwicky stuff inside Plone. It was made to do that. And that was also cool. So anyway, I kind of waffle between two different attitudes. There is a good reason to put your stuff in the cloud, because if your servers go down, and I of course run all my stuff on antique hardware and software, and really old hardware to begin with, so it's going to have a failure rate, and it's not going to last forever. Anyway, so there's always that thing about saying, oh, keep it in the cloud. But when you keep it in the cloud, you're somewhat at the mercy of forces that you don't control. Now, I get no impression that Blogger is really doing anything bad. I don't get any impression that it's censoring me at all. It's just kind of weird, and I would just assume not really use it that much. Of course, the big question is, now that I've gone through all the effort of getting a DocuWiki, and the newest DocuWiki, I keep it updated, and putting a lot of material on that, and I'm not sure if I want to take all my stuff and try to transfer it back to something like Zope. I spent a lot of time making it so that you didn't have to do it that way, and I'm not all that excited about having to take all that content and bring it back into Plone or just as HTML pages in Zope. You know, I always kept a Gopher server for the very reason that I felt like the way that Zope handled external files, actually bringing it into its object database wasn't good. Of course, that was early on. I'm actually using Zope 2.8, which might I'm trying to remember when external files got used differently, and you just kept a reference to an external file in Zope, and it actually used an external file that is much more insane to do on an actual file system, as opposed to doing the stupid thing of putting a file in a database that actually sits on top of a file system. Sorry, I'm just weird about that. Anyway, it's like turning mechanical energy into electricity. If you can use mechanical energy and keep it as mechanical energy, like in a water windmill, which is all, you know, it isn't electric, it's all mechanical. That you buy a little better efficiencies to a certain extent. It may not even really matter, but it's just the way I am. Which makes me a bad businessman, which makes me 100 things that isn't very useful to anything. So anyway, yeah, I continue needing, and I also need to do more recordings. I don't know if I need to do it along the lines that I was doing it for the YouTube channel, although my tendency would be to say yes, but it's scripted out, I've got it written out, I read it, and there is a PowerPoint-ish presentation that takes up most of the screen, and I'm just kind of a head down in the corner. Knowing that it's these kind of things that work. Audio podcasts have gotten kind of fringy. A lot of people just don't watch them. And do I want to get watched? Yeah. But the only problem is those videos, I was trying to advertise them on Twitter. And let me tell you, Twitter is just absolutely, I mean, it'll just say no. No, no, no. We don't like your stuff. It'll give some lame brain excuse that if they think it's a copy of something and you're going, no, it's my stuff. Anyway, so I don't know what would make my advertising arm work any better. It seems like doing what inherent advertising is available somewhere doesn't really do a very good job. Anyway, so I realized when I was the clerk that I didn't mind being the clerk because I could attend to my own spirituality, okay? I didn't get caught up with I consider to be borderline I don't want to call them heretical teachings. Mostly informed by bad culturalisms from Utah. I'll just call it what it is. And the fact that so many people are enamored of this stuff, and you go, guys, I need the pure, simple religion here. I'm not really interested in this new age, feel good, high fiving Jesus schlock. And but I find I've said a lot of people, and it's like, you know what? Said, I don't know what the church wants. I said, to be honest, I don't know if the church is really all that interested in solving false doctrine from, I know, I said, it's fantastic to get this stuff from the brethren, but it very rarely translates down to a local area. You know, everybody's, you know, when you make changes from the top and people aren't prepared to accept those changes, because I'm sorry, the brethren, the first presidency of the Quorum of the Twelve, they run this church. I don't know if that's particularly good. I don't, you know, to be really honest, I kind of struggle with the fact that the 12 apostles are mostly just business leaders, and the church is the business, kind of the corporate church. That bugs me. You know, they said, as far as I know, the business side could be the purview on some level of the first presidency and the presiding bishopric. Thus leaving the brethren, the 12 apostles, to go out and do missionary work. The power of the testimony of an apostle, they do have the diplomat function. Fine. I'm not a diplomat. You know, I don't aspire to be an apostle. The council system seems to sound and look like the Protestant committees, and it's like, okay, said, you know, a committee got us the Nicene Creed, stuff like that. Everybody who didn't come along with what was said got taken out on some level, declared a heretic, and you can do anything you want with a heretic. And it says, I just feel like I'm just a big heretic. I read stuff in the Book of Mormon, and I write about it, and I wonder, and it's like, I don't think the brethren are off base. I think we actually have good, inspired leadership among the 15 men who pretty much are the authorities. I don't think much of the rest of it, although you're not supposed to say a word. These are, you know, these are people who are supposed to be doing this and that, and that's whatever. And you go, well, then you've just cut your nose off. And you go, hey, I don't care. I don't care about cutting my nose off. I'm not here to win awards and influence people particularly. I'm just a voice, and a voice that talks about what needs to happen. And I don't, to be honest, staying a little bit separate from it makes it so that I don't fall into the traps of trying to please people, trying to go with the majority, trying to be like that. I said, the rest of the church can do that. I know it's a horrible mess, and you know, and I'm a guy that just I'm more of a rip and tear sort. I don't think Christ particularly was. I think John the Baptist was. But he wasn't part of the picture for very long. He did what he did. He baptized Jesus. And it seems like after he baptized Jesus, that was the end of the need for John the Baptist. So for all I know, I'm a weird anachronism, and I'm just not, it's not needed. And it's like, you know, I said, I don't want to have my temple recommend taken away. You tell me what I need to do to retain my temple recommend, and I'll do that. It's just beyond that, you know, I don't know. I'm going to continue to do what I'm doing. People go, well, what are you doing? We've never seen anything we want to do. And you go, okay, well, then I guess you don't have to worry about that. It's inconsequential. It says, go to Facebook. Whatever, Jason Nevro, look up Jason Nevro. It's got all the stuff I point to. You can go to my blog and you can read my blog all you want to. It says, you can go to my website and you can read what it says in there. Ta-da! How much more do you need? You know, this is, I'm not hiding. I don't think I'm tricking anybody. As far as I'm aware of, I'm a pretty transparent guy. And I'm trying to do the things that are just immediately in front of me that I see. And I'm not, you know, and I'm not saying that I think things should be done better. It's not my, I'm sorry, it's just not my arc to steady. And I've never figured out what, councils, you know, exactly how to behave around the councils. I guess in the past I was okay with saying something, having it basically be ignored, and the group going on with it, that didn't bother me. So I've gotten to the point where I'm not so good with that. I'm perfectly fine going of my own volition. I am an Aaronite priest, and it's nothing that can be taken away from me. You know, the church can say, okay, we don't like what you're saying. You know, you need to reconcile yourself with a group. And if you can't do that, then you're out. Or, you know, you're just not going to have any standing. And you go, well, okay. And you go, it doesn't matter to me because I have standing from my heritage. Yeah, okay. I gotta go to the bathroom here. All right, I'm back again. So yeah, you know, I can do some things under my own brand. It doesn't have to say the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on it. Again, wonderful Father. Anyway, so it's all good stuff, and I go about it that way, and I think I caused more trouble than I contribute to the group, and so that's why I said, you know what, since you don't have to. Placate me. I would just as soon not be a part of the group in favor of you guys just doing it the way you want it done. I still gotta get my wow. Good rain on the thirsty earth, boy. That's why when people say, oh, climate change, oh, we need to make sure climate change doesn't happen, which is what people mean. They don't actually come around to saying that, which is basically, we just want things to stay the way they are. And you go, hey, in my part of the world, I'm far more interested in things changing. Changing could be good. I am not much of a traditionalist. But I do have great confidence that knowledge built up over time and tested over time has a lot going for it, and that although we can walk away from it, I said I would be careful. There's just too many people who really want to see wholesale changes that you're going, well, is this really going to be an improvement? The church is just as much that way as anything else. I don't think the Lord minds as long as the doctrine remains the same, which is one of the problems, is that sometimes the doctrine doesn't remain the same. It gets, you know, progressivism is very, very willing to throw out the baby with the bathwater, which is, I think, a pretty apt way to describe when you say, wait, in order to stay current with the times, we need to embrace homosexuality completely. And you're going, no, that's a sin. God said it was a sin, and I don't think God has authorized anybody to change that commandment. Now, I'm not, you know, this is like, God can do exactly what he wants. Do I trust the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I trust the fact that this is God's authorized church. And maybe I have kind of a Catholic attitude about it. You know, I don't have to agree with everything that goes on. But I want eternal life, and nobody else is offering it but the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They just don't. When another Christian denomination basically vilifies the concept of becoming as God is, I'm like, okay, so, but what do you offer me instead as something that should make it worth my while to participate in Christianity? Oh, well, Christ will forgive you of your sins. And you go, well, that's great, but where does that lead to? Well, you're going to have a pleasant afterlife in heaven. They're going, you know what? I said, I don't know. I said, can I be honest? I said, a lot of things that I'm supposed to really be all excited about here on earth, I'm not very excited about. You know, it's like you're trying to sell me a product, and it's just like, well, this sells itself because everybody wants that. And you're going, you know what? Maybe I don't. It's like, oh, what? You know? I would say Christianity sells me a bill of goods, but to be honest, it's like going to the store and buying rice cakes. It's just fluff. And it's like, I don't know why you think I should be getting all exercised about this. Now, exaltation. A life like God has that He offers to us, that not only makes a lot of sense to me, but it's something that I would like to qualify for. And there's a funny thing about me. Sometimes I go to qualify for something and I don't particularly know if I want to take it. Amateur radio, I've got an extra license in amateur radio, but I don't really use it that much because I've got other things going. And amateur radio is kind of a pastime. And I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure, you know, when push comes to shove and I get there, do I want to qualify for it? Yeah. Is there a chance that I'll actually turn down the opportunity and go in a different direction? The sad part is every direction from that is lower. But it's like, well, you know, it says, I'm going to qualify for it and then we'll see. You know, I do get a choice, and I don't want to, you know, it's nothing about being ungrateful. It says, I'm grateful for the opportunity, but I don't necessarily have to take it. But I'm not saying that there's not a God. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not saying all the silly things that people say when it's like, wow, you guys hope there's not a God because you're not doing what God said. And anybody who says, hey, something bad's going to happen to you because you're not doing what God said, they get all wound up. How dare you tell me that? And they're going, can I be honest? I said, you can do what you want. I says, but you're not going to, you know, but you can't just wish God out of existence. Or that, because you said, well, I don't believe that God exists, all of a sudden you are exempt. Not going to work. No, anyway, so we'll see how that goes. So I don't know. I think people are extremely flippant about Jesus Christ and about Heavenly Father, and I get no indication from Scripture that they are very flippant about things. Well, baptism, yeah, I know I said a few things about it, but it's okay because I love you and I'll pat you on the head and you'll be fine. I'll take care of it for you. Christ didn't say that. And to sit there and behave like that's what's going to happen is to say that Jesus went back on his word or something. And it's like, I think he was pretty poignant about saying that you could rely on him. Not just that through his atonement, Christ would forgive sins that you seek, that you have worked to repent of, that you would be held accountable for stuff that you had worked to overcome. He's good for that, but he's also good for all the rest of the stuff, for all the nasty stuff that he said was coming. If his prophets said it, if he gave it to his prophets, or if he said it, especially, wow, he's just as good for that. Everybody wants at least their interpretation of the nice stuff Christ offers. Sorry, it's a present tense. Can I be honest? They can sometimes jack it up to let you say, you don't need to keep all those silly old rules. That's not necessary. You don't need to keep the Ten Commandments. Jesus said that he had gotten rid of them, and you go, no, he specifically said he did not. He didn't come to take them away, he came to fulfill them. And then he went into an explanation of what that looked like, and it was actually more. It was actually a deeper commitment than the Ten Commandments required. Anyway, so we have to be on our guard about that. Oh, excuse me. Oh, it's 8:30. I can see Mountain Air coming up, so I'll be at the crash site in before 9:30. How does that sound? Anyway, so I do worry about that, but you know what? I said, to be honest, I don't think there is an acceptable way to keep false doctrines from creeping in. And I think basically the answer that we get is, please listen to the brethren. Please do your own scripture study. Please seek to get your own testimony. That isn't based on your sweet-talking, soft-spoken favorite person at church. That, you know, that that person is just as liable to lead you astray as anybody else is. I found it interesting. A topic that Lisa and I have been looking at for, it seems like a few years now, at least, maybe 5 or 6, about the idea of unconditional love and how everybody is just so exercised about it. Mostly in, of course, it's unconditional love. And you're going... And my thing is always, what do you expect? What is unconditional love going to do for you? I know people have been somewhat concerned about the use of the term, and then they go, well, you just don't understand what I mean, and go, well, then you need to tell us what you mean. Can I be honest? I don't think God engages in unconditional love. People in trying to defend the concept go off the deep end. And it's not that I try to entrap them, but it's like it says to me, you know what? I said, can I tell you? What about Heavenly Father's attitude towards Satan? And they will say, Satan's as worthy of redemption as anybody else's. And you're going, whoa! I said, God cast him out, so he doesn't, he lets him back in? Is that what we're talking about? It says, as far as I'm aware of, during the millennium, Satan will be bound. He won't be able to influence us. It says, I don't know how that really goes. You know, some people say, oh, it's going to be a marvelous time, and I'm kind of hoping for that. Other people say, well, if we choose to sin then, we can't blame the devil. Can I be honest? I don't know how many people actually blame the devil these days. I think that's kind of an old trope. Is, you know, the devil made me do it. Now, yeah, it's just, like I said, I don't hear it that much. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Anyway, boy, the wind's blowing out there. I think I'm going to have an interesting night of possible rain and a lot of wind. Always makes sleeping in the blister interesting. Last Monday, a lot of the blister wasn't in good shape. It was having problems. We'll see how it is today. Tomorrow morning or whatever. And whatever reference we're going to do. Anyway. But they were saying, oh, he can repent, he can be redeemed. And you're going, wow. So what happens? He gets his own interesting world now? So he could go through Earth life? He goes, guys, he hasn't been through Earth life. He hasn't been tested. He rebelled before the test started. He didn't keep his first estate, which was a requirement of getting of being invited to the second estate. And they're going, so, you know, guys, I said, you guys are getting off the trail. And it's like, holy pre-holies. We can't have that. said, I don't know what gospel you're preaching, but it has nothing to do with Christ. You're saying that a whole bunch of people that chose not to follow Christ, they're okay. They're covered. Going, no, what? They rejected Christ. It's like you're saying, oh no, Christ loves you so much, it doesn't matter what you did in the past. Like, oh my goodness. It says, well then, I guess, you know, I don't know what church you're preaching. You go, but it's not this one. And that's what we're here for, is to preach this one, not some other one, please. This isn't a democracy. If 51% of our branch decides that they're fine with same-sex marriage being officiated in temples, that doesn't make it happen. We're not a democracy. I said, we are followers of Jesus Christ. And the Jesus Christ that Joseph Smith promulgated, and not another one. Please stay on the track. It was interesting. I actually read, there is this little thing that was attributed to Joseph Smith about we don't understand the amazing blessings that might be ours through obedience, and how much Christ rains down blessings and wonderful things upon us by being obedient. But he said, on the same token, you don't understand the kind of hell that will rain down on you if you don't keep the commandments. And I think that's very tricky for many people. And the rationalizations for saying that this stuff shouldn't be a problem. You know, it's like, it's okay. No, I can believe this way. And you go, well, you can raise your kids however you want to. Because as far as I know, just because the church said that you needed to do this doesn't mean you have to. You know, since I'm pretty liberal-minded about how you raise your kids. Says, now, do we have a responsibility to inculcate the gospel into their lives? Yes, I do. I do, I do, I do. Oh. Open? It doesn't look open to me. It's 8:30, so these places should be okay. I'm going to go ahead because I'm wanting to get something, honestly. Okay, I'll pause it for now. Oops. All right. So, got some stuff here. Actually hungry. I shouldn't be getting involved with this late in the game, but I am. Still gotta get some gas. So I might as well pause this again. All right, I'm back. Still raining. Pretty good coming out of down there. I am, I decided to go ahead and make a stop at the Mountain Air Family Dollar. I want Family Dollar to survive. I'm grateful for its existence. Family Dollar and Dollar General. Anyway, so frequent it when I can. I did a little bit of research this weekend on canned meat. The difference between Spam and Treat. Treat is predominantly made of, it's made more of chicken than pork. It has a mix of both, but it's got more chicken in it. I think they just add enough pork to give it some pork flavor. Spam, of course, is pork, basically, and a lot of different other stuff. Treat has less fat than Spam does. It isn't as firm as Spam is. Spam is much better for slicing into slices and cooking that way, or whatever. Treat is very much more something you get out of the can and then you spread. It's not a spread, but it's not as firm either. You aren't going to be as readily able to make slices out of it. You can, but it's going to fall apart of it. I think that's just the nature of chicken. Anyway, and Treat costs less. So there's two or three different reasons why I tend these days to go for Treat other than Spam. Some of my for survival food. I buy Vienna sausages. I think they're a little pricey from Dollar General. They're $1 a can, which is a little high, I think. I think I can get it cheaper other places. Maybe I'll find out that I'm wrong. I don't know. Vienna sausage is made of chicken, too. Sometimes I'll eat Vienna sausage when it's all I have left, and I don't want to go to the store. But I tend to hand that out. You know, when people are panhandling the side of the road, sometimes I'll give out dollar bills if I have them. But I usually only did that when I didn't have something else. Today I bought 3 cans Vienna sausages, so I will give out my cans of Vienna sausage. Now, these are smoked. I don't know if I really am a fan of the smoked stuff. Anyway, but I tend to give those out because, you know, people can use their money for all kinds of funny things. When it comes right down to it, I'd rather give them food. Some of them get together and kind of trade other things besides the money that they got. They tend to keep the money and trade off for other things. I don't know how much of a tradable Vienna sausages are. Chicken links for lack of a better thing to call it. I think that's probably the most honest thing to call being a sausage. Anyway. And, it's, pretty good stuff, I think. Anyway, so I got that, and then I got some cans of mini ravioli. You gotta be careful with that. You gotta make sure that you give yourself a pretty big napkin in case you dump it on yourself. I also tend to get, now, this time I got a package of bologna. No, it's not bologna, salami. They didn't have any bologna. People don't tend to like salami as much. I like salami fine. And that was only for a dollar or something. I'm really chintzy, so I go for the cheap stuff. I typically get refried beans. I don't know if it really matters whether it's fat-free or not. I tend to get the fat-free if I can. If I don't, I don't care. But I do that, and I put that on my tortillas along with some cinnamon. Cinnamon has, or at least it's purported to have, almost magical properties over diabetes. And so I use cinnamon liberally. And of course, I check to make sure it doesn't have sugar added to it. I'm hoping that it just isn't by nature. It says, oh no, everybody knows that there's sugar in cinnamon. Because it tastes sweet to me. But anyway, I don't get some kind of cinnamon mix. I actually get cinnamon itself, and I use that because I want the virtue of it. Guy, what else? Anyway, so that kind of speaks for when I went. I don't usually shop on Sunday. This is a little out of character. I should keep the Sabbath day holy a little better. For some reason, I was a little hungry. I've got cash today, so it was just as well. I prefer Dollar General because there's usually not long lines like there are at grocery stores. And makes me happy not to have to deal with long lines. Quite sad. Maybe it's the Dollar Generals that have more of I was kind of looking around for tomato juice or vegetable juice, which is tomato juice with a little bit more stuff to it. You know, it's got other vegetables in it. I don't mind getting my vegetables out. I usually get carrots and celery. Wow. So, that's usually what I eat during the 4 days that I'm out in Funsville. Hey, guess what? Memorial Day is coming up, which is a holiday. Now, I'm not, I'm going to take the whole day off. I usually take 4/10, which means I have to make up for the 2 spare hours while I'm out and about. So I'm going to be next week is going to be, I'm going to have two 11-hour days and one 10-hour day. And then that'll be my week. Because I get 8 hours off for Memorial Day, not 10. But that's okay. I understand the situation there. The guys who do 8-5s don't have to make any adjustments. They just get the day off. A guy like me has to make adjustments because, I have to work 11 hours, and then 10 hours. Or I could work 12, 10, and 10s. It's neither here nor there. I've worked 10-hour shifts when I was younger. Haven't done it lately, though. I don't know if that's good or bad. But, anyway, so... So we'll see what happens when it comes to my calling at church. I said, you know what? I said, it'd probably be just as well if I wasn't a part of the branch council. I don't mind doing other things. I said, frankly, I said, branch council makes me crazy. I just assumed not be involved in it. Maybe we'll come back and say, you know, we're not going to release it. You keep doing it. It's like, I'm going home. And getting all jerky with my family, they don't appreciate it. Of course, they can say, well, I'm just going to figure out a way not to behave like that. Whatever. It's okay. Your opportunity for Nebro said that he needed a release. Or he requested the release. And I'll be straightforward. I was a troublemaker in council. So I'm not really a council sort. It's my failing. You know, says I'm not blaming anybody else. Golly, no. It's my fault. Anyway, so, haha, there we go. Whee! That's all there is to say about that one. Well, that's currently the thing on my mind. What else is on my mind? Gee, whiz. Up for things to write about. There's always things that come up. I've got a whole bunch of draft things that I really haven't turned into a thing yet. And it's part of the process that I have. You know, some things just never come to fruition. There's things that are still drafts that are probably years old. And I might never get back to them. And there's always new stuff that comes up. I believe the one that I got now was oh, it just happened to come up. It was really funny. I don't know if it was something that somebody said it was a BYU devotional, and I took some exception to a few things that the gentleman said, and I said, he's not, I don't think much of him. You know, I said, I'm not saying that it was all wrong. I'm just saying that there was certain aspects of it that I felt like were not appropriate, or were false doctrine. Of course, he was getting all emotional about it because how it makes him feel. And it's like, and the thing that he was emotional about was troublesome to me. And it made me think about the scripture. I have been struggling with the whole concept of love in the scriptures to begin with, and I know a lot of other people too. You know, how many times is it agape love, the really big one that Jesus has for us, the non-romantic, self-sacrificing sort of love? I don't know how that compares, because I'm sorry, if you start appealing to that love too much, you almost stop parenting your children for just telling them how wonderful they are and not really getting around to correcting them. Of course, most, you know, I felt like I really didn't correct my children enough. I felt like I was somewhat neglectful of it. My children, you know, I think that they basically say either I was okay or that I was too, I wasn't neglectful enough for them. You know, they really wish I would have just left them alone. And you go, you have to understand, almost all children want their parents to just give them whatever they want and to otherwise stay out of their business. And you're going, I really feel like that my tendency was to let that happen, except where something was really bothersome to me. And I hope it was a godly bother. I felt like it was. I felt like if it just bugged me, I wasn't going to really get into it. Although I got to say that today I basically just put down the "you're starting to piss me off" card. And said, stop it. Just stop it. And other people said, oh, you can't talk to us like that. One of my kids was kind of giving the whole, you shouldn't talk to people like that. This is why they're doing it, and that's okay. And it's like, excuse me, it's my household. I get to decide what's okay around here. And I'm sorry. Somebody pissed me off. And, you know, you can say, wow, you just surprise us. You're not being very consistent. Usually, you're kind of, you know, and they will never say I'm easygoing. You usually don't get on to us about that. Now, all of a sudden, y'all are being inconsistent, are we? And it's like, no, says, I'm not saying I'm even a good person, but you know what? It's my house. You know, Mom and I get to have things the way we would like them to be. If you don't like it, you're old enough, you can go and get yourself a job, go and get yourself an apartment, see all of your money go in and come right back out, and you're going, oh, I don't get to do anything fun because I'm always broke. And you go, dude, that was about the first 20 years of me and Mom's marriage was like that. We never got to do anything particularly. All of our entertainment had to be basically free. Unless somebody was being nice to us. We we had to get really good at watching TV and being entertained by that, because we had that was what was available to us. Anyway, so. And the modern kid has no concept of that. You know, they get movies on demand. They pay, I don't know how many dollars a month for the pleasure of belonging to a service. And you're going, you know what? I said, that's hilarious. We had a television that had an antenna. And we had to live with whatever channels we could get. And that was it. That's, ta-da! That was what was available to us. And you go, you guys don't understand poverty. That's why I got so exercised about my eldest daughter saying how horrible her life was, and how we dumpster dived and stuff like that. And it's like, you are such a bald-faced liar. I said, that is garbage. Says, you never starved. You never wanted for a thing. We worked hard to make sure that you had everything you needed, probably a little bit more. I said, and let me tell you, when you got older and you were old enough to drive, you had access to a car. And sometimes that car was in your name and you could do whatever you wanted to with it without us getting involved. Give me a freaking break, you liar. Trying to sit there and trying to impress people by how hard your childhood was. Bullshit. It was God. That's just I'm sorry. This is, you're trying to convince other people about how hard you had it. It's garbage. You didn't have it hard at all. There are real, authentic, poor people out there, and you were not even close to being one of them. You had privileges that I couldn't afford after I had spent the money to make those privileges available to you. I couldn't afford to give to the other children. And bailed you out of maxing out credit cards and going out and getting LASIK surgery. So, you know, not very happy with that. You know, it says, you know, I was willing to be a little helpful, but now that you're so ungrateful, I'm not willing to be helpful at all. You don't love me then. And you go, holy free holies, you got it. I am not very loving toward this kind of behavior. Never taught you to be that way. Can't believe what you're doing. So yeah, I'm sorry. You know, said, how do I feel about my oldest daughter? I said, she's got a lot to pull together. And I'm not, you know, I said, I'm not very, if you come dragging up to my door one day because you've pissed off everybody, because you pulled stunts like you did at home, like you do with us, your own family, I said, and you come scraping in there, I said, I may or may not be very kind to you. Depends on how I feel. I'm trying to be a good person, but you know what? It doesn't involve me, you taking advantage of me anymore. You've taken advantage of me about as much as I'm going to tolerate. And you go, will I feed you? You know, I've got a place where you can stay. It's got electricity. Don't piss me off, though. Sheesh. And then, yeah, so, you know, I think that, and I think we'll feed her, except that in the 1927 rule, she's now, what, 32? 33. She will turn 33 here in a couple of weeks. And so yeah, if she were to come and stay with us, she would have to very quickly get herself to a point to where she would not only be paying her part of all of the utilities and all the costs of living and stuff like that, but also have to pony up for food, which is not cheap. And it's like, yeah, your brother who lives with us, he pays us $700 a month. Now, that includes several things besides just living and stuff like that, you know. But yeah, it'll be comparable to that. You'll be paying $500 or $600 a month, at least. There's a calculation to be made, and it is not a negotiation. This is how much it will cost. We determine that rate. And if you don't like it, if it doesn't meet with your approval, then find your own place. It's that simple. And you go, well, aren't you going to be nice to her? And he says, I am being nice to her. It's called the 1927 rule. When you're 19, all you have to do is help out a little with the utilities. And then just the cost of getting along. The food is free, and it's prepared for you. You know, you don't have to prepare your own particularly. Although I got to be honest, these days, we may have to, well, we still buy all the food, but you have to prepare a chunk of it. And, sometimes it'll come. Sometimes Lisa will make it for you. But frankly, Lisa doesn't make food beyond what she can eat herself. And she doesn't eat much, so, or very often. So you're kind of stuck. So we may have to make the 27 part a little bit less onerous from the standpoint of you're gonna have to cook your own food on a regular basis. But all the materials are available to you. That much is there. So anyway, but yeah. And, you know, people can say, well, you're just not being kind enough. And you're going, you know what? I don't listen to people who kill themselves kissing their kids' butts and basically paying for everything for your kid for as long as they want you to. And let me tell you, I've never met a kid in those circumstances that was grateful for it at all. They were usually, well, you know, I need this and I need that and there's this and that that I need too. And it's like, and you expect me to provide this? You're an adult human. I'm only 19. You go, no, you are 33 years old. I can count. Anyway, so yeah. And I, you know, that's fine, you know. I don't mind providing this kind of stuff. I don't want it to be for very long, so I don't make it cushy or particularly nice. It does not extend to children, to grandchildren. Grandchildren do not get the 1927 rule. It's just not there. You're expected to go out and do whatever it takes to do that. We do not babysit or take care of your children for you. And I'm surrounded by people who will do that at a moment's notice. You know, I'm going to take over my grandchild's affairs. So the only time I would do that is if you were dead. And let me tell you, would I be going after, you know, the other parent? Who, it's like, well, I love my child. I don't want them to have anything to do with that other parent. You go, excuse me? He says, that's your attitude about it, not mine. That's their child, not mine. And you go, oh, well, I just don't feel comfortable having that other person take care of this child. And you go, I don't even know what you're talking about. He says, it's their responsibility. That means it's coming to you. Drop it off at your house. He says, I am, oh, who's following me? I'm going to be a grandparent. I am not this child's surrogate parent. Who do I? Well, I guess, can I be really honest? One of Lisa's sisters died, and nothing was ever said. I don't think it even came up about the father of that child taking responsibility for that child once her mother died. It just never came up. They just wouldn't do it. And it's like, you're totally confused. And said, I would most definitely get money out of them for that child's maintenance. Now, there's something interesting. There was a life insurance policy on it, which was really interesting. And it paid. And I think, you know, I don't want to say anything bad about my wife's parents. They chose what they did, and I would choose to do it myself. And they go, oh, but that child may suffer. And you go, suffer? I said, no. I said, that guy needs to belly up to the bar. He had it lucky for a while. He got to basically skate. And my daughter was being silly in, you know, oh, it's okay, I'll do it because I love my child. They don't, rah, rah, rah. It's like, no, bullcrap. It says, this isn't even a matter of love particularly. It says, this has to do with being responsible for what you've done. You get your butt out here and you raise this kid. Ain't my job. Your job. And they go, well, I didn't, you know. Your daughter never did this to me. So, oh, well, you were dealing with a different person. Now you're dealing with us. He says, and we're coming after you. If you think you're going to not be involved in this kid's life and you're just going to skate, it says, it's going to cost you a lot more money. You will prefer to keep this child around because it will cost you less. Because if I have to raise your child for you, I'm coming after you with a stick and beat the crap out of you until I get every penny that you have. Got it? They go, man, Nero's a jerk. And you go, damn right, Skippy. And everybody says, well, you talk big. And you go, you know what? They're starting to find out that I really am that way. And they go, well, he's not a nice person. And you go, dude, nice isn't even a virtue. Nice is dumb. Nice is something you can afford to do. I don't know. I don't know when you can afford to do it. I try to be nice to my wife because she puts up with a lot from me. My kids, they better put up or shut up. You go, well, you're never gonna see your kids or your grandkids. And you go, you know what? I said, that's their business. That's their business. If they don't honor their father and their mother appropriately, I says, you know, said I'm not going to do that. I says, let me tell you. I said, wait, you know. It's all another thing. It's all I can tell you. Hey, I'm at the blister. I'm at my place. hey, everything looks pretty copacetic. Oh. All right, well, that's it. Have a nice day, everybody.